You probably heard or noticed in the opening announcements that next week our parish is going to have the pro-life march. Many students from Sacred Heart High School are going to Washington, D.C. to join in the rally and also in the March for Life as our nation observes the tragic decision made by the Supreme Court in 1973 legalizing abortion in our nation. Many of you may have heard or know that Planned Parenthood, which is the largest provider of abortion and all the things that go along with it in the United States, is planning to build a multi-million dollar murder house in our state in the city of New Orleans. Interesting thing is they've been planning this for quite a long time, and they began to break ground about 6 months ago. And all they have right now are the wooden forms for the foundation of the building, but don't have any concrete yet to build the foundation. Reason being, first of all, you have the prayers of multitudes of people going against this, but also the Archbishop of New Orleans spoke out and let it be known that any company that was going to offer their services would be cooperating in moral evil, which they would be. And so Planned Parenthood is having an awfully hard time finding anybody to work in construction for it. That's a good thing. Why Planned Parenthood and why here? Well, as I said, they're the nation's largest abortion provider, and they hate the state of Louisiana because we are number one in the nation as far as being pro-life, with the fewest abortion mills and the strictest laws against this taking of innocent human life. And so they would love to have bragging rights by saying that they have one of their largest facilities here in our state. But again, it goes to show what prayer and persistence against evil can do. The Archbishop also warns us about something. That even though we might not do something ourselves personally, if we provide the assistance to anybody else in committing evil, if we provide the time, the space, if we provide the materials, or even if we provide consent by what we say and do or don't say and do, then we are likewise guilty of that same evil. It's a reminder to us that this is not what Christ called you and me to. It's something altogether different. We're here to honor life, to preserve life, to build and not tear down. And this goes for those who are unborn, but also for those who are born. It doesn't stop just because we can say we've ended abortion. That's one good thing, if we can do that. But we have to continue with all the stages of life. To take care of infants as well as toddlers, children and teenagers, to take care of adults, making sure that everybody knows what God wants, making the right decisions, becoming the people God wants us to be, taking care of older people who are preparing to see the end of their lives, taking care of the sick, the poor, those who are in need of our assistance, to see in each and every person the very presence of God. One chilling thing that I did see, though, was that when Planned Parenthood broke ground to begin just even building their form for the foundation, there was a Jewish rabbi who was there to offer a prayer, and he quoted one of the Psalms by saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I thought, my God, how can you do that? Why would you do that? In the first place, for us as Christians, that psalm is referring to the resurrection of Jesus. We use that quote every Easter Sunday, that this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in the fact that Christ has died and rose and broke the bond of sin and death and restored life forever. To use it in that context is absolutely perverse. To praise a place that takes human life. But then again, it made me think. It's not to denigrate anyone's religion, but the facts are the facts. Christ alone takes away ignorance. Christ alone reveals the fullness of the truth as to who God is and who we are and what God expects of us. Anyone who is still under original sin can't see that fullness, can't participate in it because of sin. Likewise, anyone who finds themselves in personal sin, anytime that we cloud our souls by distancing ourselves from God and doing things against His will, likewise, is going to have a perverted notion of God and God's will. Sin twists everything around and everything inside out. Only Christ can remedy that. So what does that say about you and me? Samuel, in the Old Testament, was destined to be a great prophet. He thought he was hearing the voice of Eli when, in fact, God was calling him to his vocation. Eli had wise words to say to Samuel. Simply go back and tell the Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. As the book of Samuel says, Samuel was not yet familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. But then we see John the Baptist. And what does he do? He gives us the fullness of revelation. He brings us to the one who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world and reveals the fullness of truth. My brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to something great. He is calling us to act in His name. He calls us to respect for life. He calls us to care for one another. But we see in the life of Jesus a demonstration and a model of the ideal disciple. Jesus tells us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, but He shows us how to do that. We just celebrated His coming among us as a man, that Jesus becomes like us in every way but sin, so that you and I could be like Christ in every way and move from sin. And we heard last week where at His baptism the Father says of Christ, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him." We listen to what Jesus says. We follow what Jesus does. That's what it means to be a Christian, that Jesus lives inside us. Christ prays. We must pray. Christ loves. We must love. Christ Jesus comes to do the will of His Father. We are here to do the will of God. He never loses His focus. He knows who He is and why He's here. You and I need to do the same, never losing the focus, knowing who we are as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ and of one another, and realizing what we're here for, to be holy and to make the world holy. To be at peace and to bring peace. What do we see Jesus doing? What's His Father's will for Him? He preaches the gospel. He teaches the truth. He gives wisdom. He heals. He builds up. He reconciles. He restores things. And of course, Jesus suffers and dies but rises from the dead. Why are you and I here in this world? To do the very same thing. To be transformed by the Holy Spirit. To have minds and hearts renewed. To preach the gospel by what we say and by what we do. To teach the wisdom that we've received to other people. To heal where there's brokenness. To build up in the body of Christ. To reconcile and bring forgiveness. To restore things to the way that God wants them. Are we going to suffer by doing all that? Probably. On the outside or the inside, we're going to feel some suffering. But so did Christ. We're going to die eventually, but the fact of the matter is, we actually live because Christ lives in us. In everything, Jesus remained united to His Father. We also remain united to the Father inasmuch as we are united to Christ. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are not here for immorality. We are not here for perversion. Think about it. Jesus accepts a human body. Jesus takes that same body and brings it into heaven. Jesus is there, body and soul. What does it say about our bodies? This physical body that we have is not evil. Made by God from the dust of the earth, it's joined to the soul. And with the soul does great things for God. Those things I said, we do in the body. We do good with our hands, so we extend them to the needy. We get on our knees to pray. We walk toward others who are in need. We use our minds, our mouths, everything to the glory of God. You ever wonder why when you go to a funeral, the first thing we do is bless that body with holy water? I've heard so many people say, well, it's just a shell, maybe, but it's an important shell. It belongs to the soul. and the soul belongs to the body. That body and soul is meant to be resurrected when Jesus returns. We incense that body at the end of a funeral mass to remind ourselves that this body is sacred. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, this body will be raised from the dead because it was a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's ours. Let's go back to what St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians. The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do not forget that your body, every part of it, is a member of the body of Christ. Whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Therefore, avoid doing sinful things, any kind of immorality whatsoever, with or in the body. This body of ours is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God that is within us. We have this from God, and we are not our own. You and I have been purchased, and at a great price, by the death and resurrection of the Son. Therefore, St. Paul says, glorify God in your body. We may have been born damaged by original sin, but we have been given the grace and power of Jesus Christ. We're constantly called to change, to grow, to develop, to become renewed in heart, in mind, and in will, to be like Christ. Today, as you hear those words before communion, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you respond, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, that is, to come into me, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Think about what Jesus says. Remain in me as I remain in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in him, I remain in her. The two become one flesh. Glorify God in your body. Live as the Lamb of God has taught us. May we say with the apostles, we have found the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who brings us truth and grace. Listen to him.